This is the Apple This Extra.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to AppleViz Extra number 60. It is that time of year again. Lots going on in the Apple universe with new devices and new software. And we're here today to talk about everything new in iOS 12 and WatchOS 5 and what we think about it. My name is Dave Nason, and I'm joined firstly by Thomas Donville, member of the AppleViz editorial team, from the AppleViz Unleashed monthly podcast and creator of many tutorial podcasts around the new software as well. So thanks for joining us, Thomas.
Hey, thanks, Dave. This is an exciting time. I'm glad to be here. Thank you for inviting me.
Delighted to have you. It certainly is. Also joined by fellow AppleViz editorial team member Scott Davert, whose talents among many include his expertise around Braille, and we'll be leaning on you for the Braille stuff, Scott. So thanks for joining us.
Well, hey, Dave, good afternoon. Well, it's afternoon here. I got to get out of that habit because, you could be listening to this at any time. So good day, sir.
Good day, sir, to you. And we're also joined for her second appearance on the AppleViz Extra podcast and also from the Blind Abilities podcast and AppleViz.com blogger, Serena Gilbert. Thanks for joining us, Serena.
Thanks for having me, Dave.
Great to have you. And is everyone really excited? New software?
Kind of, sort of.
Sure.
I mean, it's kind of a ho-hum year, I would call it. But yeah, there's some few things, but kind of.
Yeah, it's one of those years. If it's a kind of a TikTok, this is the talk, I guess, isn't it? This is just the enhancement year. This is where we haven't seen huge new features, but Apple very much told us their focus is on enhancements this time on, performance and that kind of thing. So what we'll do, we'll have a chat through some of the big features that are new in iOS 12 and WatchOS and some of our own personal favorites, perhaps. So the first one is performance. So the idea behind this really is that Apple wanted to make sure that all the devices that we have out there, going right back to, I think, the iPhone 5S and the SE, run as well as they possibly can on those devices so that they're fast. They're up to 40% faster or something to that effect? Even those older devices, any device running iOS 11 also runs iOS 12, which is great to see. So no devices have been deprecated under this particular update. So has anyone here got one of those kind of older devices that's benefiting from
this? Yeah, I have. I have an iPod 6, and I regretted from the day I upgraded to iOS 11 doing it because the performance was terrible. It was slower than me before I've had coffee in the morning. But now with iOS 12, it works really well, and I was glad to be able to put it on the iPod. It makes it run a lot quicker. I know, Thomas, you also had a 5S that you're running it on, right?
I'm running the 5S on it, and I was very surprised to see how snappy it was. It was actually kind of weird, like you. I had regrets going to 11, but now that 12 is out, it's a lot snappier, faster, and it's unbelievable. It's faster than 11 was, so I was really pleased to see how responsive it is. It's like almost having a new phone, really. So with the headphone jacks.
Yay for headphone jacks.
It is really cool. And it's great to see in terms of, in a sense, it's an access thing as well. Not everybody can update their phone every year.
Oh, I totally agree. And I think a lot of people are going to come in this scenario. I know there's got to be a lot of 6 and 6S users out there. And I think they're going to celebrate because you don't really have to force yourself to go up to get you a new phone because it's going so slow. So you get another year into this. And so, which I think is a big factor, especially on the 5S. So I can hang on to that phone and have the latest, greatest OS for years. So I think that's great for everyone.
Or even, buy one of the older devices if you do want an upgrade, but you don't want to upgrade to the absolute newest, perhaps. You're safe to do that. Cool. So yeah, I think it's great to see that they've kind of done that, and it wasn't just words where we're going to put performance, but it seems that there's real substance to that. So that's really cool. Another one of the, I suppose, big feature enhancements is a new feature called Screen Time. So it's been in the news quite a lot about, you know, phone addiction, and people have different opinions about that. But one thing, whether however you feel about phone addiction and all that kind of stuff, and is information is really going to be is really important. So Screen Time is a way that you can have a look at how much you're using device each day, what you're spending that time on, how often you're picking your phone up. Serena, have you tried Screen Time at all? Have you had a look at any of these reports?
I haven't intentionally, because I do not want to know. I'm sure it's disgusting how many hours a day I spend on my phone, especially on the weekend. During the weekday, it's more I'm playing music on it while I'm working and things like that. But on the weekend, I'm probably on it an embarrassing amount of time. So I've avoided that feature like the plague. I just scroll right past it when I'm in my settings.
Fair enough. Thomas or Scott?
I have used it, and it is it makes me feel like I live in a very sad state, and like I do nothing when I'm awake other than be on my phone, which I guess means that I do nothing while I'm awake but be on my phone. What I like about it is, and I was talking with my brother about this, is the ability to limit screen time for kids. I have a 10-year-old nephew, and he has an iPhone, and I was telling my brother about it, and he's like, wow, that's going to be great. I said, yeah, you know, and you could even do things yourself. Like if you put app limits on yourself where you have to enter a passcode, say, for example, you want your kid to have your phone. I don't think I would ever hand a kid my phone, but if you did, you could set the app limit to 1 minute. And then they would have to enter the passcode to get into it after that 1 minute. So it's pretty much protecting, like, say you didn't want them going into your messages or your mail. Even on your primary device, you have that as a possibility. So I think it's a really neat feature, and I think it's overdue. You know, as much as I feel that parents are the ones who should be controlling what their kids can and can't do, they have to have the tools to be able to do that. And I think iOS 12 really brings those tools to the iOS environment.
Yeah, I'd agree completely. Actually, I think that the fact that you can see on your device the screen time of your kids as well, so you can see how many hours they're spending, and you can have a look through the data and say, okay, I think they're spending too much time on Facebook. I'm going to put a 1 hour limit on Facebook if I want. So that they think they call it downtime. Is that part of the feature where you can set, like you said, time limits on individual apps, or you could send, you know, you could lock down pretty much everything except the phone app, because maybe you want them to be able to still ring home if they're in trouble, but you don't want them to be, you know, doing anything else because they're supposed to be doing their homework or whatever it is. So I think that's really cool. Thomas, have you have been looking at your scary screen time reports?
Well, you know, it's one thing to look at it, and when there's another thing that reminds you every week that you have increased over from last week or whatever, and it's just kind of like, I'm more Serena. It's kind of like I rather not look at it because I know my habits are probably pretty bad. but I understand the reasoning behind it. As a parent, I understand that completely. This would be great as my kids were a little younger, and even when we were under the umbrella of the family share, and we can actually watch and see exactly what they're doing, which is long overdue, like Scott was saying. So I totally agree with that. As for myself, I don't use it at all. I looked at it a couple times, and that was it. I think it's pretty cool. There's a couple things that I found of interest. The pickups and the notifications were my biggest kind of a thing. I can see which notification is bothering me the most of the day, and so I can kind of cut down. I've been trying to cut down the type of notification, so this helps me there. And the pickups I thought was kind of cool, that each time you pick it up to look at your phone, you can see how many times. You know I spent ungodly too much time listening to news, reading the news, and listening to different podcasts and stuff like that. But yeah, it's a really neat application if you have a use for it. But for me, I don't really have a use for it.
I'd be a little bit the same. It's mostly the pickups. Although with pickups, I don't actually know if what counts as a pickup. Do I have to unlock, or if I've raised wake switched on, so is it just any time I raise, you know, lift up my phone, is it counting that as a pickup, in which case I have a lot of accidental pickups?
I think it is the whenever you hit the screen and something comes up, you know, whatever you do to wake the device. because I don't pick up my phone very often. I'm a Braille user. I don't need to pick up my phone. But it knows that I'm on my phone and it's got all these pickups and or put downs, I guess.
You're not sneaking through them with that.
yes, exactly.
I also like the notifications, actually. That's one of the most useful parts of it, I think, is that you can say, oh, God, this news app has sent me 43 notifications in the last 2 days. I'm gonna disable.
Exactly.
So, I think that's really cool. And, I suppose off on a tangent from speaking about notifications, one of the cool new features that I really like is grouped notifications. So what this lets you do now is, rather than your notifications in your on your lock screen and in your notification center simply being in chronological order, they now put them into groups of apps. So if you've got three notifications from Messages instead of from the same thread within Messages, or three notifications from Facebook, it'll put those three notifications into one group and say Facebook. It'll read, VoiceOver will read the most recent one. And it'll then say three notifications in the group, and then you can double tap on that notification and it'll expand the group. So you can see all the notifications in chronological order from within that one app. So it just tidies up the notification center an awful lot. I really like it. Anyone, Serena, have you noticed this change?
I have, and at first it confused me because I couldn't figure out how to ungroup them because I was using the rotor actions menu. And it was like view, manage, and I think clear were the options. And I go to manage and I'm like, oh, wait, nope, that's not it. And then view, and then it only views one of them. But then eventually I did figure out, oh, I just double tap. But I do like it.
I agree with you, actually. I didn't think that was that intuitive, the fact that you just tap to actually expand the thread. But once you know it's there. And the other things it lets you do, as you said, it's got manage as well. So now you can manage so rather than having to go into the settings app and go to the notifications section, you can manage what you the notifications from a particular app simply by going to manage using the rotor on that notification.
I absolutely love that feature too. This is no doubt one of my biggest favorite feature of all the iOS things that you can find in 12. I say hands down, this is my most favorite. I like the grouping and I love the manage, so you don't have to be, if something was, I want to still be notified in my notification center, but I don't want it to be like popping up on the lock screen. Mm-hmm. So that manage is really cool. But Serena made a good point that the rotor gesture, that's the first thing I would have thought too, is just swipe up to think of something, but you actually have to do a one finger double tap to expand that, which is kind of a weird deal. But overall, I use this the most, and I love this feature the most myself.
Yeah, and within Manage, there's a feature called Deliver Quietly, which is what you're referring to. So then, the notifications will still appear in your notification center, but you won't get an alert, and it won't appear on the lock screen. So you'll still get the notifications, but they're just not bothering you, which is really cool.
Yeah, you know, it's the customization is really the big thing for me. You can, you know, like you guys were saying, manage them and really get that individualized notification the way you want it to, app by app. Mm-hmm. And my hope moving forward is that they quit messing with the notification center, because every iOS recently, mm-hmm. they've been messing with it. They finally got it to where I think everybody will like it. So I hope they leave it now.
Yeah, there has been a few changes. They actually, they used to have some sort of a grouping, and then they got rid of the grouping, and then they've back grouping in a better way now. And the other thing you can do as well, you can manage, as you said, app by app. So if you want grouping in Facebook, but you don't want grouping in WhatsApp, you know.
Hold your breath, Scott. I wouldn't hold your breath. I think 13 is going to just ruin everything.
Yeah, do that. Definitely not.
They didn't do that to Scott. Tim Cook listens. You do realize this.
Did you say I was holding my breath?
Okay, you can breathe now.
Hey, you're like my Apple Watch. I don't need that thing anymore. Now I got Thomas to tell me when I can breathe.
Oh, Lord. Well, what else did Apple make a big deal of when they were telling us about it back in June, I suppose, was shortcuts. Siri shortcuts was a big thing. We Well, we've been running the betas, which has given us the chance to try out these features. Shortcuts is one that we haven't really had the opportunity to use over the summer. So does anyone, from what they've seen about Shortcuts, have any particular thoughts about it?
Well, there was one that I noticed when I was flipping through my Shortcuts part of the settings app. I don't even know how I got there.
Yeah, Siri, we had a limited access to it, yeah.
Yeah, one, I was actually surprised there was one that came up with a third-party app that was WhatsApp.
Yeah.
And it was one that I could assign something to send a message to a specific group that I had in WhatsApp.
Yeah, I saw some WhatsApp ones as well. Did you use it?
No, because I mean, I do the voice message part more than anything. So when you use Siri to send it, it's sending a text instead of recording your voice.
And could you imagine yourself, if you got kind of more, when we get these more kind of powerful ability to make shortcuts using third-party apps and stuff, is there any kind of things you can think of that you're going to use, you'd like to set up if they're in the catalog?
Well, something as simple as playing a specific station on Pandora, or for those who subscribe to Spotify, being able to finally use Siri to play a specific song or album on Spotify, like things that it should have been able to do years ago.
That's exactly, I said the same thing to Scott before we started recording. I was like, I play the same radio station in TuneIn Radio every morning going to work. So as I walk out the door, instead of having to go and find that station in the app, I can just, hopefully I will be able to just say, play Radio Nova, you know, and it'll just open the app and do it for me. Little things like that I can see myself using, but I'm struggling so far. And I think I'm hoping to see the catalog and of pre-made ones first to maybe inspire me into what I might come up with. Thomas, you kind of like a bit of automation. You did a really good podcast on If This Then That, IFTTT, a few months ago. So I don't know, do you have any brainwaves about what you're going to use?
You know, this is kind of one of those mixed deals, is that, yeah, there could be a few things. I mean, I like what Serena said in it. That's totally true, is that it's really what this is going to shine the most is the things you couldn't use Siri for before and let the third party's app come in. And that's going to be the big shiny part about this. But as a whole general population, it'll be interesting what they come up with. But I kind of mimic what the gal did at the WWDC. So every time I come home, I like the part. I got it hooked up to where I say I'm coming home, and this will send an ETA to my wife, and so she knows where I'm at and how many minutes I'll be away from home if I'm taking a ride home. And then I'll just pop on my, it'll open up my latest news, and then I can just read it from there. And on top of that, like she did, is that you put the music in the background so they kind of, so I don't have to listen to all the chit chattering in the bus, you know, on the way home. So yeah, there are some pretty cool stuff about that I will be using it for, but that's primarily what I've been using it for lately until more and more things get opened up and your creativity and imagination will just be, you know, just to the sky, really.
Yeah, I think it will be really powerful, actually. It's it just might be a process for us to kind of really, for it to really uncover how powerful it is. Scott, do you have any thoughts on it?
Well, I think we're still going to be limited. You're not going to see like all the functionality that you have on Google and Amazon's platforms. Like for example, you know, you can't go buy an Audible book. I don't really see them implementing that. You know, even with the books application now, it's still the only place you can natively buy books on the Apple platform. So I think it's still going to be a little more limiting in some ways, but you know, than what you have on some of the other assistants. But in terms of upgradable, you know, has it been upgraded from Siri? Absolutely. And I think this is, yeah, like we've already said, long overdue. You know, it's kind of the counter argument for sandboxing. You know, you put yourself in that walled garden and people are going to leave eventually because they can do something with a voice assistant that's much more functional than what you have as your default.
Yeah, I'm hoping that this is just an infancy stage, as in, you know, this has been one of those features that we have all been you know, telling Apple we want more functionality, we want more open access to Siri, not be stuck in the ecosystem that only their stuff works. Like tying Spotify with this, so you can play your playlist from Spotify or ask songs from Spotify, all from Siri. And I think that this is their answer of opening that platform open to us. And I think hopefully over time that this will get more and more so. But, you know, Apple will always have a limitation of what you can do. So at some point, I think it'll never be what an Android is, of course, but it is nonetheless, it's a welcoming new feature.
Yeah, I agree totally. Although I was listening to a podcast recently where a guy who's a real expert in kind of on the technical side of operating systems and all these kind of what's coming down the line. And he seems to believe that in the long run, this is going to be, you know, voice first, as he called it, is going to be a huge part of our operating systems. It's going to take over a lot of functionality that we currently do by opening an app and stuff like that. So he's kind of saying this is the first block kind of, but you know, watch this space because he expects it to get bigger and bigger. But yeah, you're right as well to say it's still probably Siri, certainly this year, Siri still isn't as powerful probably as some of the rivals, but it's a huge step forward. Scott, there are new Braille commands for Braille displays. Is that right?
There are a lot of them. I'm not going to sit here and go through them all because that would just take a long time. But yes, there are new Braille commands, and they make navigation a lot more efficient for Braille display users. You know, you could, for example, do a lot of these things within the rotor prior to iOS 12. And you do have to customize the Braille display command. They aren't there by default. I walk through that in our announcement about iOS 12. I wrote that part of the post. So if there's a problem, you know who to complain to. But it really is going to, and it already has for me, sped up a lot of my navigation on the Braille display. For example, just setting up one for headings. You know, I don't have to go into the rotor and move around to get to headings. I set up backspace with H for myself and then backspace space with H to go to the previous heading. And I can very quickly jump around. Same with form fields. And it works really well. I haven't found any real issues with it. So that is definitely a major step forward for Braille display users.
Yeah, that's got to be huge when you think of, you know, people, you know, it's just like when people use Bluetooth keyboards, I guess. Yeah. Having that ability to just set up those. And it's great that they're customizable probably as well. I know maybe it takes a bit of work to set them up, but at least you can have them the way you want them.
Yeah. I mean, it's good and bad, I guess, sort of. It's good that you can do whatever you want with it and you can set it up to be whatever command you want. But if you have multiple Braille displays, for example, or if you set up a complicated system that only makes sense to you, well, then if anybody else needs to use your device or if you forget it, then you're kind of out of luck. But, you know, you can go into keyboard help and the new commands that you've assigned will also show up under there. So you can tell, you know, okay, yeah, that's what I set up. And there's always reset, which is a very handy thing to have.
Always. Serena, you don't use a Braille, do you? Or do you?
I do not. And, so I don't have the fun adventures that Scott has.
Well, we're delighted for you, Scott, that you have them and all the Braille display users out there. There are, you know, I think, yeah, it's great that they're still adding these kind of new things. They're still thinking about how to improve the Braille displays. So I think that's all the big new features, but there's lots of little things that Apple have added in iOS 12 or tweaked in iOS 12. So let's maybe just go around the table and mention one or two each that come to mind and maybe, you know, what we like. I'm going to be really rude and I'm going to go first. And I'm going to say I really like the new Do Not Disturb features. So there are a couple of new things in here. One is that you now have Do Not Disturb at bedtime. So if you use scheduled Do Not Disturb, you can now switch this bedtime mode on and it then during the night, if you want to check the time during the night, none of the notifications that have come in will even show up on the lock screen. So you'll just have the time on your lock screen, no notifications. And it's not until you turn Do Not Disturb off that you would see any notifications on that lock screen. So that's a really cool thing, because people maybe check the time and then see a load of notifications and get distracted. And at 3 a.m, they're looking at notifications when they should be sleeping. So that's one good thing. There's also critical alerts you can switch on now. So you can say, okay, I want alerts from, say, the health app to be able to break through Do Not Disturb. So, you know, if you're wearing a device that's linked to the health app and it's telling you there's something gone wrong with your heart rate or something like that, you do probably want that to break through Do Not Disturb. So I think that's a very cool new feature. And my own personal favorite from Do Not Disturb is now in Control Center, you can 3D touch on the icon for Do Not Disturb, and you can say Do Not Disturb for 1 hour, or until this evening, or until tomorrow morning, depending on what time it is, or until I leave this location, or until the end of this meeting, if there's something in your calendar. So just really cool, quick ways to do that. So that's how I usually set Do Not Disturb now. I just say until tomorrow morning, or I use it in meetings as well, in work and stuff like that. So really cool features that I really like. Who will I go to next? I'll go to Scott.
My favorite feature has to be group FaceTime calling. Oh, man. But to be serious, I really like the notifications. Like I said earlier, the notification center, I hope they don't mess with it anymore, because it's just perfect right now. I love the customizability of it. It's really great. You know, there's also some helpful keyboard commands for Bluetooth keyboard users that are kind of handy. If you're one of those people, for example, who has a lot of tabs open,
In Safari, is it?
Yes. If you have a lot of tabs open in Safari, as a Mac user, if any of you are, you'll know that command 1 through command 9 will take you to your various tabs. You now have that ability in iOS, and there are some others in there as well. So, but definitely notifications. And I'm going to get to, when we talk about what I don't like about it, in a moment, but I will say that what I don't like about it, I would like about it more than probably all the other features, and that is the misspelled words rotor option. I find that almost handy, but we'll talk about that
almost
in a minute.
Great stuff. Serena, have you has anything stood out to you, or is there any little features that you've noticed that we haven't talked about already?
So one, and it's kind of a small thing because, well, it's only how I unlock my phone every day. So before, I would have a little bit of trouble unlocking my phone where it'd be like, authentication failed. And you'd have to like try to redo it. And I'd kind of trick the phone by flipping it sideways, flipping it back up. I have noticed that Face ID is a lot more accurate now. And I don't have that happen very often. The only time that I have it kind of fail is if I'm, strangely enough, like in a really sunny place and the sun's maybe behind me or it's doing something weird. But that's a miracle for me to be able to unlock my phone a little bit easier now.
Yeah, because it was a frustration and it still is a little bit, like it's still not as reliable as Touch ID, but it's definitely getting better, isn't it?
Yeah, and I don't think anything will ever be as reliable as Touch ID was. But I don't miss that home button, I will say that.
I never did it from a gesture point of view and so on. I never did, if I'm honest. And hopefully they'll continue to improve it. I'm sure they will. Thomas, any little features or big features that I've missed or that we've missed?
Well, there's a lot of little ones, but I'll just tell you my top favorites. My top three favorites, I have to agree with Scott. Notification is number one for me. This is really fantastic. I love this, how it is. My number two most favorite thing is within Safari, you now have this new fill and sign mode for security. So it puts your...
Yes, autofill. Is that it?
Mm-hmm, autofill. And that has been awesome for me. I absolutely love that. I mean, I used to use some third party, but you have to use their built-in browser to be able to take advantage of it. This is now built into the Safari itself, which I really highly like it a lot. And the last one I have to... that I like, I don't think a lot of people are going to play with it much, but it works for me when I do a lot of beta testing on certain things. So the new battery statistics is really fantastic. They finally broke it down by hours and instead of the whole day, you know, now you can see, I noticed the battery really drained during this time, and now I can see what app was used during that time. Those are the top three that I enjoy the most.
Very cool. And that autofill one as well, I believe they have an API so that you can link it with third-party password managers as well. So if nice. You're using LastPass and 1Password, you can continue to use those, but link it up with this autofill feature. So yeah, you're right. That is a really cool feature. I'm also going to give a quick note to the new Siri voices, because there's new Irish and South African Siri voices, which I can speak for the Irish one is so, so, so much better than the old one, and can also be used for voiceover. So yeah, really cool. But it's not all good, is it? So every year, of course, people also want to know what's going on in terms of bugs. Have they introduced a whole lot of new bugs? Have they fixed bugs from the previous version? And I think on the whole, I think it's a good news story with bugs. I think there's been very little in the way of new bugs introduced this year. You know, there's nothing really massively serious that's been introduced newly for most users. But there are one or two little ones. And I know, Scott, you've certainly got some Braille issues that you wanted to mention.
I mean, every year there are Braille issues, unfortunately. and I have to be a little critical here. But I think my criticism is going to be honest and justified. Mm-hmm. It's become very obvious to me that within Apple, no one is seriously testing Braille without speech. And I say that because we had a bug from iOS 11, which I couldn't report because I don't ever use speech for the most part. You know, you have that auto detecting text, you know, it says automatic text, possible text, mm-hmm. I think is a speech phrase. Well, that's not accessible in Braille. It doesn't show up. You have a blank display. But that's kind of a big deal because there are sites where you really need that feature in order to get a lot of the information. But in iOS 12, the misspelled rotor misspelled words rotor option that I made mention of earlier. So it works with the Braille keyboard. So I can, you know, go to the rotor and find misspelled words. I can even set up a Braille display keyboard shortcut to jump me to the next word without even using the rotor. And I can do space with .1 or .4 to go to the various options. But when I go to look at the list of replacements, I don't see them on my Braille display. They work in speech, but all you see on the Braille display is that the word is highlighted. So unfortunately, if you can't use speech or, you know, for whatever reason, that feature is not accessible to you simply because for whatever reason, those misspelled word replacement options are not displayed in Braille at all. And if you use speech only and a Braille display, the commands of it, you know, if you're not looking at the Braille display, then it looks like it works great for a Braille display user. But unfortunately, you know, you're not able to really utilize it other than to jump between the various misspelled words.
Okay, so whether it's deafblind users who maybe can't use speech, or whether it's just any Braille user, honestly, who maybe is in any situation where they don't want to or can't use speech, then, you know, that's a showstopper.
Yeah, it's kind of a challenge. It's not a showstopper.
Well, for that particular feature, I mean, it means it's...
Yeah, I mean, it's a new feature that we didn't have before. So it's not like, you know, oh, well, it doesn't work anymore, so I'm not upgrading. I will say the text input has been, it's a little more kind of clunky sometimes, but I can't really pinpoint what the problem is. It's very difficult for me to report anything. But let me put it to you this way. It didn't stop me from upgrading. I have iOS 12 on all my devices.
Yeah. So, okay. That's fair enough. Thomas or Serena, do you have anything on the bug side of things? Or?
Well, and I don't know if it's just something weird with my devices, but I think this is a bug that started in iOS 11 and they just still haven't fixed it. So like when you're in your app switcher and you're just swiping through apps and you're like, cool, I found Facebook after I swiped 20 times, and then you double tap and all of a sudden it's opening mail.
Yeah.
I just want them to fix that. Like,
that's true. I'm like you. I haven't. There's no new bugs. Sorry, that are really affecting me. But there's a couple from iOS 11 that I wish they'd fixed. So that would be one. Mm-hmm.
So that's not just
still there, right?
Yeah, I'm still getting the thing when I reply to an email where my phone just goes dead for like 20 seconds sometimes.
That happens to me sometimes too.
Yeah, it's typically on really long threads of messages. The only way I found to really work around it is to select all and then delete it and then do your reply. And that usually makes it go through just fine.
Good tip. Thomas, have you noticed anything particular? Or I think you would agree that it's, on the whole, they've done a really good job on the bug side of things. It's just one or two little.
Well, you know, as a whole, it's really stable. It's probably one of the best iOS releases I've ever had, hands down. But, you know, granted that there wasn't a whole lot they came in with to, you know, to screw up. So coming into it, there's going to be a handful of minor bugs. A lot of just little things are going to be coming in the way, with the exception of what Scott was talking about, the Braille issue. Yeah. I totally agree with him. I think that either they are lack of resources or lack of people that have Braille display proficiency or experts in those areas. I think they really need to work on that, because this is year after year after year. I mean, there's something comes up, but the good news is that you can actually use a Braille display, like Scott says, because unlike last year, you had to wait until 11.1 before you'd be able to use your Braille display specifically. So I grant him that, but overall, I have not had any bug that like totally annoyed the heck out of me, other than what Serena said, the app switcher kind of weird sometimes. Sometimes what I notice, it comes up and be on the app that I just was at, and I close it and then it just stops, doesn't say anything, and then I have to touch it again, and then it sees the rest of the apps I can close. So other than that, there's just little minor hiccups all across, but not really that many bugs at all.
Yeah. But of course, we're a small group of people have been trying this out, and you know, I'd say to anyone listening, you might have come across other stuff, and do, you know, we do have a post about what's new, and if there's any bugs we've missed, you know, do post them to the site. And if you want more detail, obviously, you know, go check out that post. But this is, you know, these are just kind of our quick impressions really of them.
Before we move on from this bug discussion, I just want to make a point of clarification. While I did say, and I'm sure it's true, that no one is actively internally testing Braille without speech, that doesn't mean that Apple isn't, you know, trying. And it doesn't mean that Apple isn't working to improve the experience for Braille users. If that was the case, we wouldn't have all these new shortcut command options. So I just want to make that clarification. I understand that they're trying, but I also understand, just based on what we're seeing here with some of the bugs, that they don't have anybody internally testing these things without speech.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree with you. Yeah, I agree with you in the sense of Apple is trying. They have resolved some of the problems we saw during the beta cycles, which was some big ones, actually. And so they did squash those. And so we have just a few remaining medium ones. So that's not too bad right there, really.
Yeah, no, like I say, Thomas, on the whole, it's been a very, very stable release this year, I'd say. I think that's everything on the iOS 12 side, which would allow us to have maybe a quick discussion around Watch OS 5, the new version of the Apple Watch operating system. I only have a Series 0, as people call it, the original Apple Watch, so I haven't got the ability to actually install Watch OS 5. I know Scott's the same. Serena, do you have an Apple Watch?
I do have an Apple Watch, but I didn't feel like, I just didn't test it on there, honestly. I'm sorry. Because I just have to think back to WWDC, some of the features they were talking about. And I remember everyone being really excited about like the walkie-talkie feature. Mm. But from what I understand, that wasn't something that could be tested with the public beta or any of the betas. So I've got nothing.
Do you think you'll use the walkie-talkie feature?
I will. I'll probably use it to annoy people that I know have the Apple Watch. Just to be like, hey, what are you doing?
That's what Thomas plans to do, isn't it?
Uh-huh.
You have like been running it all summer, haven't you, Thomas, or the Watch OS? So you're our watch expert.
Well, you know, like Serena and you said, yes, the walkie-talkie was probably the biggest one. Everybody's looking forward to the watch the most. And, you know, at first, when it first came out, I wasn't sure if I like it or not. But as time went on and I got other people to test it with, I truly enjoyed it a lot. One thing I learned about this they didn't mention before is that it uses the FaceTime audio functionality, the API for the FaceTime. So the quality is actually pretty decent on there. For coming out of a watch, of course, it's going to sound pretty tinny. I mean, you don't got so much of a speaker on it, but it's pretty flawless. I love it. Just know that it isn't something that, like, if you are one of those people that like to send messages with audio, with the cruddy audio quality, mm-hmm. and you want to be able to replay it back and listen to it, you need to stick with that. The walkie-talkie is walkie-talkie. If nobody's there, nobody says anything, it just goes through and you'll never know that you missed it or anything. Mm. So it's kind of weird.
Oh, really?
But so, yeah, I mean, it'll tell that Michael tried to contact you, but it won't leave any messages or anything. So I have to go back. So you have to be on at the same time. But once you do it, it's very seamless. I enjoy it very much. And I will be using this quite a bit, especially with the wife and the kids.
It's easy to use. And
And it's right on the face watch. I put a complication on there, and as I just double tap that, select a person, and then there you go, you're off, you go.
Yeah.
So what's your Apple ID, Thomas, so we can bother you? No, I'm just kidding.
It is Serena Gilbert. You know what I love about the Apple Watch OS 5 in general is finally they're slowly but surely untethering the watch from the phone. So what am I mean by that? I mean, you now are able to go to the weather app, edit a city, or add a new city, or you're able to go to the stock, or you're able to go to the world clock. So those things you were tethered before to the iPhone, you had to go to the watch app on the iPhone to make those changes. And now you can do that from the watch itself. And that is very welcoming thing. I love that. I hope it will come to more of a standalone device, so I'm not tethered to it all the time. With the exception of the LTE cellular, of course. But I say my favorite is the walkie-talkie and the ability to, I know this sounds crazy, I really like the ability to change the widget on my control center. So I'm now able to move things around where I wanted to, where you couldn't before. You were pretty much locked down on it.
Oh, cool. So a bit like on iOS last year when they brought in some kind of customization for Control Center.
Yeah, just like that. The only thing I don't like about it, and there's really no bugs to report that I've seen with it, so, which is a great thing. I know Alex and I were looking through there, and we haven't really seen a lot to report, but the weird thing is that they introduce a new voiceover gesture on the watch. So when you put your finger at the top center of the watch, you'll get a haptic vibrate. And then when you feel that, you swipe down and then opens up your notification center. And if you go from the bottom, it'll open up your control center. So it almost was like an iPhone X feeling of not quite the same, but in the same sense of that you got the haptic and the tone, and then you get to open up.
And it's so a single that, finger gesture.
It's hard. It's not as easy as you think it is. That's the only difficult situation, because you have such a small real estate on that watch, where on the iPhone X or the iPad, I have no problem with it at all. Which the iPad also got the same gesture as well. We didn't discuss.
True.
And so those are the little things in watch. So there's not anything earth shattering. When you update it, the nice part, if you are running a Series 1 older watch, you're not going to see any differences in speed-wise, because that was the number one thing I was worried about, slowdown. And I have not seen any slowdown at all, which is great news.
That's really good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's really good.
The something you mentioned in your podcast Thomas, was you can, and it speaks to your idea of untethering, is that you can join Wi-Fi networks now directly as well.
Yes, it's under the settings, you have your Wi-Fi section. Now you can actually find your Wi-Fi. So if you're not, if your phone isn't around, but you're home, you can just join your Wi-Fi right there on the watch, which is another step of untethering, which is great news.
And one thing I'm looking forward to, actually, that I was looking at is auto start and stop workouts, because I regularly would forget to do that, quite frankly. I just, halfway through the workout, I go, "Ah, man," or 4 hours after I finish the workout.
Well, you know, I have a Zero Edition as well. And what made me get my first Apple Watch was watchOS 3. And the Taptic Time functionality.
I love that.
WatchOS 5 might push me into getting a new watch. First of all, because of, like you were saying, Dave, you know, with the auto start and stop of workouts. I mean, I would do that a lot, you know. I'd be like, oh, crap, I forgot to start my workout. I got nothing for today. You know, those new abilities, and combine that with the ability to kind of be a little more independent with it, make me think, you know, maybe this is more of a viable option for me than it was with the Zero Edition, which is still nice. But if you were one of those people who upgraded to WatchOS 4 on the Zero Edition, ouch. Yeah,
I'm one of them. Mm-hmm. I have essentially had something that tells just about manages to tell me the time for the past year. And even that sometimes takes voice over 20 seconds to wake up. So I cannot wait to get my new Apple Watch.
Yeah. There's listeners out there, just to let you know. Yeah, this will, anybody that's running Series 0 will not be able to get this update.
True.
I'm sure you wouldn't want it. I mean, like, if you think four is just, makes it go to a crawl. So there's no way. You know, the other thing too, Thomas, about the walkie-talkie feature, going back to that, I hope they make it a little more consistent so that you can double tap with two fingers anywhere in the app to start recording. As I understand it, now you have to do it on that specific button. You can't just be launching that part of the app and then double tap with two fingers. Is that correct?
Yeah, what is a focus issue. So when you're in the walkie-talkie app itself, you can just do it one finger, double tap hold to start talking and then let go. What it doesn't announce is that you can do a two finger double tap to lock it and then talk freely without any hands, and then you do a two finger double tap again. That function only works if you're on the talk button itself. So if you're anywhere focused outside of the within the walkie talkie app, it won't work. So that would be the one bug to let people know, but I wouldn't imagine a lot of people don't know you could do a two-finger double tap, but you can. The thing I forgot to mention too is that for those Siri maniacs that like to use the watch with the Siri a lot, you probably will enjoy the raise to wrist Siri functionality, where you don't have to say "Hey Siri" anymore. You can actually, every time you lift it, Siri's ready to listen to you. You feel the haptic on your wrist, and you can just start talking. It also supports the Siri shortcut from your phone.
Oh, cool. Yeah. I think, I'm looking forward to new hardware, but I'm definitely, you know, from listening to you talking about WatchOS 5, I'm definitely looking forward to getting it as well. Like you say, like iOS 12, it's not huge, huge new features, but it's a lot of little enhancements that I think are going to make it a lot better. And I think that just about wraps us up, but I would say, like, this has been a bit of a summary, but there's a lot of little features and enhancements and things that we probably haven't even got to in this. And Thomas, you've created a couple of podcasts, so what's new in iOS 12 and what's new in Apple Watch OS 5 as well.
Mm-hmm. That will drop at the same time along with this podcast. When you guys hear this podcast, if you haven't listened to the other, I created two podcasts, one for what's new in iOS 12 and the other one, what's new in Apple Watch OS 5. So if you want more details, there's a little more nuggets in those podcasts if you'd like to listen.
There's lots of, as I say, there's lots of little nuggets, like just little tweaks that
No doubt. And you know, I know that we didn't mention about the iPad, but I think that might be something worth mentioning to you iPad users. If you start feeling that you're, when you touch the top of the screen looking for that status bar or your dock, don't be surprised if it starts vibrating. I do want to let people know about the iPad. Anybody with iPad, even with the home button, you're going to notice a new voiceover gesture on the iPad. So it isn't just you losing your marbles and losing your mind, but you can't, that's my only kind of gripe about it, is that you really can't touch the status bar as you could do before. Like I always tap the center to see what the time is, but now it's just like donk donk, and it's like got that haptic thing that's ready to exactly what you got an iPhone X, where if you hold it down and then you just kind of drag it down to the first tone, you hear increase in tone, and that is your control center. So you, as you drag it down, let go, and open up the control center. And if you do, if you just do a tap at the top and then drag it down to the second tone, that opens up the notification center. Keep in mind that the home button still works, and you still can access the notifications and control center doing the three finger swipe down and up. It's just, if you're looking for that dock, same thing's going to happen. You're going to hear the dunk dunk, and you're like, what the heck is that? And if you drag up, the first one is the home button, and the second tone is the what is that? The app switcher. So it's kind of a weird experience. I don't like how they changed the status bar on my iPad. Always got used to knowing where everything is on my status bar. So, you know, I always thought the clock is at the top center, battery's at the top right, my Wi-Fi will be my left, right? You know, we all come to love that, and they changed that.
Yeah.
Your clock is now on the left.
Yeah, like the iPhone 10, actually, on the iPhone 10.
That's how they have it on the iPhone 10.
Ah, see? Okay, so they're going to the iPhone 10 approach. Okay, so...
So that tells you something.
That tells you something, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, it's kind of a foreshadowing that, are they going to get rid of the home button on the iPad, you think?
I think so.
Apple's going to be homeless.
They're going to be homeless.
The tip to find the time and stuff now is go over towards the left. And if you used to find the status bar from the top, now you need to find it from underneath, essentially. So go to the top left app or something on your home screen and kind of move your
way around. Yeah, I couldn't describe it to anybody. I said, well, the best thing I could find is to find the top left app that you have, which for me was Message, and then just kind of drag your finger upward, and then you'll be on the status bar. Same thing with the dock, too.
So,
And if you notice, some of the new Watch OS commands are somewhat similar. Kind of makes you wonder, are they going to drop buttons in the next version of the watch? At the time of recording, we don't know.
Yeah, exactly.
I suspect not on the watch, but who knows? Maybe even a year down the line. But I think that about does us for Apple Viz Extra number 60. As I said, please do check out those other podcasts, What's New in iOS 12, What's New in Apple Watch OS 5. Check out our blog posts all about What's New as well, and some really good articles up on the site. So go to applevis.com as well and check all that out.
I did want to mention, the reason there's no article from me, which I've been doing for many years now, is because there just weren't enough new accessibility features to warrant a whole article. So... look in the blog post. There are details on, you know, what's new in accessibility within that blog post.
Yeah.
So just in case anybody was wondering, where's your article? There isn't.
The what's new is and the what's new in accessibility are merged into one now this year.
Correct.
Great stuff. So
thanks, Dave.
Thank you, guys. So Scott, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
And Thomas, always a pleasure.
Oh, thank you, Dave.
And Serena, welcome back, and thank you for joining us again.
Thanks for having me.
Great stuff, and thank you for listening. Enjoy iOS 12 and Watch OS 5. Goodbye.
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 Thank you for listening to this episode of the Apple Viz Extra. To learn more about us, visit our website at www.applevis.com. Follow us on Twitter @AppleVis and like us on Facebook.